Let us now draw near to our Lord in prayer. Merciful God and Father, you are the great and awesome God. No one can compare with you. You are supreme and exalted forever. You show your greatness in all of creation, in all of the beauty that surrounds us also during this winter season. You have created all things, and you daily uphold all things. You are our faithful God and Savior. We may always turn to you in all situations of life and seek you. You are our God, so good and great. We look to you for grace and mercy in our need and poverty of soul. And we know that we do not look in vain, because you have shown your love and grace in Jesus Christ, our Savior. During this time approaching Christmas, we are reminded once again of the miracle of the coming of your Son and the amazing depth of your love, that your Son was willing to undergo such humiliation for our salvation. We thank you that there is mercy and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And therefore, we also pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will create in us a pure, clean heart. Make us willing to obey you more and more, and cause us to see and to experience the joy of our salvation through Christ. We pray for your blessing over this worship service. Be near to us. Help him who proclaims your word to do it faithfully and boldly. Grant that we might listen with attentive and open hearts and minds. Bless us also as we read your holy word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may rightly understand it. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Let us now turn to Holy Scripture and read from Luke chapter 1. Luke 1, we'll start at verse 26 and read to verse 56. Luke 1, starting at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. So far, the reading of God's word. The text for the sermon this morning is taken from our scripture reading from Luke 1, the first part of the Song of Mary. Let's read those verses again, verse 46 to 49. "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name.'" Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, a girl who is engaged to be married has received a most amazing message from an angel of the Lord. What we have just said begins in a very ordinary way. Being engaged is a wonderful time in your life, time of preparations and looking ahead to a lifelong future with the one you love. But the second part of our introductory statement is most unusual. In fact, it has only happened once in the history of the world. The angel Gabriel came to the Virgin Mary and told her that she would give birth to a son who would be called the Son of the Most High God. This child, this son, would be the Son of God himself. And he would be the one who would receive the throne of David, his father. This is all quite out of this world for a girl from the backwoods of Galilee to hear. This is it. This is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises. This is what Israel has been waiting for hundreds of years. Mary must have been overwhelmed to hear this incredible news and that she would have such a role to play in the coming of the long-awaited Redeemer. After the angel has explained how it is possible that she would give birth to a child, she answers that she is the servant of the Lord. She accepts what will happen to her. We read that Mary went to visit Elizabeth, her relative. We know that Mary and Elizabeth are related on the basis of verse 36. They may have been cousins or more distantly related. Mary goes to visit the other woman who has received remarkable news from heaven. The last words of Gabriel may also be understood to encourage Mary to go to Elizabeth and see the amazing work of the Lord in her life as well. And so as the story unfolds, we see that Mary's visit to Elizabeth must have been of real encouragement to her. For when she comes to Zechariah's house and greets Elizabeth, then the child in her womb, who is John, leaped up, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth speaks to Mary inspired words, words which the Holy Spirit caused her to speak, words of well-wishing and praise. Mary not only hears from Gabriel that she is favored and that the Lord will be with her, but also from her relative Elizabeth. It was probably a surprise to Mary that Elizabeth even knew anything about what Gabriel had told her. Elizabeth knows about it because of the working of the Holy Spirit, and she calls Mary the mother of my Lord. From what Elizabeth says through the Holy Spirit, it appears that Mary is already with child, for she is already called a mother. The Lord's words to her through Gabriel are now already being fulfilled. Mary's visit to Elizabeth further confirms the truth of Gabriel's words to her, for she now hears from someone else that she is now with child. Mary responds to this reality in faith and in worship, and she recognizes the special role that she has received from the Lord. Her response in song will also help to guide our own response to the message of the coming birth of the Savior. I proclaim to you God's word under the following theme: Mary glorifies her mighty God and Savior for the blessings he has given. We will consider first her specific blessing, and second, the greater blessing to all believers. When we read our text, the first part of Mary's song, then the part that really stands out for us is when Mary says in verse 48, "For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." What does Mary mean exactly when she says these words? And how are we to understand them? In what sense do we call Mary blessed? We read these words many generations later, and much has happened in the history of the church since Mary spoke these words. As Reformed believers, we can right away think about the misuse of these words by the Roman Catholic Church. But the Roman Church has built up a whole theology of Mary around them. As time has gone by, the person of the Mother of our Lord has been put on a pedestal to such a degree that she has been called the Queen of Heaven and someone to whom we can pray, someone who will intercede for us before God the Father. The Roman Catholic Church has also said that Mary was free from original sin because she is supposed to have had an immaculate conception. She is also supposed to have remained a virgin, despite having quite a few more children. She is supposed to have been taken up into heaven without needing to suffer death first, what is called the Assumption of Mary. She is also supposed to have contributed to the salvation work of Jesus Christ in her willingness to be the mother of our Lord. For the Roman Catholic Church, Mary is very special indeed, and recent popes have made a point of emphasizing a prominent place for Mary in the lives of ordinary believers. Often it was felt that believers would be able to relate to Mary more easily than to Jesus Christ himself. She is regarded as the compassionate motherly figure, whereas Jesus is the stern, unapproachable judge. In the late 1800s, Pope Leo XIII said, "Nothing is bestowed on us except through Mary, as God Himself wills. Therefore, as no one can draw near to the Supreme Father except through the Son, so also no one can scarcely draw near to the Son except through His Mother." And the prominence and blessedness of Mary is further established by another Roman Catholic theologian when he wrote, "A sigh of the Blessed Virgin is more powerful than the prayers of all the saints together." Brothers and sisters, it is clear that this has gone far beyond our text. This is certainly not what Mary meant when she spoke these words, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." What did she really mean? When Mary sings here that all generations will call her blessed, then she means that all believers everywhere will recognize that the Lord did a marvelous deed in her, the most marvelous deed ever to come upon a mother in Israel. She has now been chosen as the one who will be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah. For centuries, even millennia, the seed of the woman has been awaited by the people of God. All this expectation was based on what is often called the mother promise in Genesis 3, verse 15. The promise which the Lord made right after the fall, when He said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." The Lord promised here that He would not let the devil triumph over His plan of creating a mankind who would worship and serve Him. He will not allow mankind to simply be lost forever, but He will cause war to come between the evil one and the woman. And one day, the offspring of the woman will completely defeat the devil. That is the basic gospel message, which is now being fulfilled. And the Lord has chosen Mary as His instrument to bring this offspring, this Messiah, into the world. Mary was truly blessed by the Lord when He gave her this special task. When Mary sings to the Lord about all future generations calling her blessed, then she is not exalting in herself as if she is so special, but she is exalting in the Lord. For the focus is not on Mary, but on the blessing which she received. This blessing could only come from the Lord, and therefore our attention returns once again to Him alone and to the marvel of His work in this world on our behalf. For what happened to Mary has tremendous consequences for everyone. All future generations will call Mary blessed because she was chosen by the Lord for the most marvelous miracle yet, the birth of a holy child who would redeem the world from sin. In verse 49, she gives her reasons, in her own words, for why all generations will call her blessed. There she says, "For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name." Undoubtedly, Mary did not fully understand the impact of what was happening. This is clear from what she says later on, while Jesus was a man on this earth. The full implications of what her child would do have not yet been fully revealed to her. But Mary does know that the Lord is the mighty one, the one who has done great things for her. Also in these words, she does not exalt in herself, but in the majesty of the Lord, the Almighty One. For he is the one who is doing these great deeds. He is the one who is all-powerful and awesome, whose great works are being performed without us even realizing it. He is holy, completely separate, and highly exalted above all mankind. There is no God who compares to him, the righteous and holy one, who abhors all sin and who is working towards the complete redemption of his chosen people. Mary glorifies the Lord, and she rejoices in God her Savior. She has very extraordinary reasons for doing so. She is conscious of her place in history, and she knows that many generations later, people will still call her blessed because of the gifts which the Lord had given to her, the tremendous privilege of being the mother of the Savior, the Holy Child, whom the Lord sent into this world in order that the world might be saved through the sacrifice of his blood. We stand amazed at the working of the Lord in the life of Mary, a humble girl from Galilee, the town of Nazareth. Though she was but a lowly girl, the Lord did great things in her. The contrast between her position in this life and the deeds which the Lord did for her could not be greater. Mary received the very specific blessing of becoming the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was something which would only occur once in the history of redemption. It happened at the time which God had planned and ordained from eternity. He chose Mary in Nazareth for this task. And Mary sang the Lord's praises because of what he did in her life in such a marvelous way. Yet, the specific blessing which Mary received was not the greatest blessing which she was to receive. And we ourselves, who live so many generations after Mary, may also receive even greater blessings than Mary's specific blessing. And so we come to the second point. Mary has received a great blessing from the Lord, a blessing which future generations will always remember. But we must always keep in mind that what Mary received shows the greatness of someone else, not of herself. We do not remember Mary because she was special in herself, but because of the greatness of her son, who was born from her. We remember Mary only because of her son. And so when we remember Mary, we are actually remembering her son, who is the greatest gift ever given to mankind. The greatest blessing which Mary received was not that she was chosen as the instrument to bring Jesus Christ into this world. No, the greatest blessing which she received was that she was able to share in the redemption that he brought about. For contrary to the view of some, Mary was also conceived and born in sin. She was not immaculate and free from original sin, but she, like us all, also shared in the original sin of Adam. Her life was also full of actual sins, like the life of us all. She shared in the real need for salvation and redemption, and she was not able to contribute anything towards that. Just like we are also not able to contribute anything to our own salvation. When her son lived on this earth, then he also spoke about the blessing which she received in response to a woman who once called to him from the crowds after hearing his teaching. We can read this further on in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. This woman called out, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." To which Jesus responded, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." No doubt the woman meant well when she called out her blessing. But she may not have realized just how true her words were, and yet also how limited they were. For Mary was indeed blessed by giving birth to Jesus. And she was part of a wonderful miracle, having conceived by the Holy Spirit. The woman who spoke these words may well have known nothing about all that. From the original language, it is clear that Jesus does not mean to rebuke the woman, but rather he makes clear that there is so much more blessing than only the physical connection which Mary was able to have with Jesus as his mother. It is true that Mary is blessed in a specific way, in being Jesus' mother. But an even greater blessing comes to all who hear God's word and keep it. Mary was also blessed in that way, for she answered in faith to the message of Gabriel, and she treasured the words in her heart that were spoken about her son. Beloved in the Lord, brothers and sisters, the greatest blessing from God comes to those who have listened to the Son whom Mary bore. The greatest blessing comes to those who realize their sin and who humble themselves before the mighty God. Mary provides an example for us to follow in this song which she sang, a response of faith to the unique blessing which God had given her. She did not glory in herself, but rather in the God who had blessed her so richly with his salvation and his mercy. We can see this in the way that she begins her song. In the verses 46 and 47, she sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." She wants to ascribe all glory to the Lord alone. She calls God her Savior and relies upon his work in her life. She knows that the Lord is the one upon whom her salvation depends. She may not yet have understood fully how this salvation will come about, but she knows that God has seen her humility, her humble estate. She has not exalted in herself, also not after hearing the special role that she will play in the coming of the Son of God to this earth. Rather, she exalts in the Lord alone and delights in his mighty acts of salvation and in his grace and mercy. As we consider these words of Mary, words which were inspired by the Holy Spirit and recorded here for our instruction, the question must also come to us, how we respond to the news of Jesus' birth and how we view ourselves in relation to him. Our situation is very different from that of Mary, and yet it is also so similar. We do not play the kind of special role that Mary did. Yet the opportunity for service to God and blessing from him are no less great. In fact, they are even greater, because when everything is considered, the fact that Mary was Jesus' human mother is in itself of no benefit to Mary at all. In many ways, it would have been a cause of special suffering for Mary. Imagine the ridicule she had to go through in the months leading up to Jesus' birth. It was not easy for her fiancé, Joseph, either. He even resolved to divorce her, but then was prevented by an angel. And being the parent of a sinless child must have been difficult in its own way as well. There would have been moments of frustration and guilt when Jesus' sinlessness would have confronted Mary with her own sin and her own shortcomings. Being the mother of her Lord and Savior would not have been easy. But by God's grace, she was able to keep her focus on what she professes in this song. During our whole life as Christians, as those who believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we need to learn humility, to humble ourselves before God because of our sins and shortcomings. It is only when we humble ourselves that God will look upon us with grace and mercy and exalt us in His presence. He will also be mindful of our humble state as we walk before Him and with Him in our daily lives. This is not something that we want to do naturally. For of ourselves, we are proud and haughty over against God. And we want to exalt ourselves at His expense. Of ourselves, we do not feel the need for a Savior, but think that we can save ourselves. We can try this in so many ways, by focusing on the things of this world, by seeking relief from our stresses in life in the wrong places, by so many everyday wanderings and lapses away from the holy way of life the Lord requires from us. So often we can be busy satisfying our own desires and glorifying ourselves instead of glorifying the Mighty One, the only true God, the Maker of heaven and earth, the gracious and compassionate Savior of His people. Brothers and sisters, let us daily encourage one another to be mindful of all the many blessings the Lord has given us. These blessings are too many to count, and yet can so easily be overlooked by us, because we find it so difficult to live by faith rather than by sight. The greatest blessing of all is the gift of God's only beloved Son, Jesus Christ. The specific blessing to Mary, for which she is remembered by all generations, has resulted in the greatest blessing to all those who believe in the Son of God, who came in the flesh through the Virgin Mary. And it is this greatest blessing in which Mary could also share. This blessing is redemption by His blood. This blessing is peace with God and the forgiveness of all of our sins. This blessing consists of knowing that the curse of God has been removed from over our heads permanently. Instead, the blessing of God is continually being pronounced over us, also officially in each worship service. We hear God's greeting at the beginning of the service and God's blessing to us at the end of the service. To us, they may seem very ordinary, and we may hardly give them much thought. But what a privilege to be able to receive God's greeting and His blessing. This is what makes life worth living. Where would we be without all the many blessings of the Lord, without the great things He has done for us? The Lord has truly done great things for us. The Creator has adopted us to be His sons and daughters. He has shown to us His love and mercy, kindness and favor. He has established an eternal covenant with us and our children. From generation to generation, we see evidence of God's faithfulness and loving kindness. He has taken care of us each day of our lives and has comforted us with his presence and nearness, also when we face difficult times. He has turned whatever adversity has come our way to our benefit. He has been working out his plan for our lives, and we may be assured of his providential care because of the work of Jesus Christ, through whom it is possible that we were adopted as God's children. We have been declared righteous in God's sight because of Christ's work of redemption, and therefore may be cleansed and purified and washed clean. We no longer need to struggle with a guilty conscience, but may instead begin to live a new life of renewal and holiness before God. He has sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts to dwell with us forever, to comfort us, and to instruct and guide us in the Lord's ways. He works in us a desire to want to live for him and listen to the words he has given us in the Bible, the scriptures, which he has preserved for us throughout the ages. Truly, the Lord has done great things for us. How do we respond to him? Let us respond with thanksgiving and joy. Let us respond by glorifying him and magnifying his name and speaking of his wonders to everyone. May we never be ashamed of our great and awesome God, but speak of him whenever we have the opportunity, and let our life show in every way that we have been blessed by the Lord. May we show forth that peace and contentment and joy that no one and nothing can take away from us. May everyone who sees us be able to see that we are blessed, that we are thankful, that we are joyful and happy to serve the Lord and glorify his holy name in all that we do. May we desire to live holy lives as his children, as those who are content to be his humble servants in all that we do. Amen. Let us now go to our Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we glorify you and rejoice in you, our God and Savior. For although you are the holy and exalted God, yet you have had mercy upon us and come down in grace and shown favor to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. You have seen our humility and our contrite hearts. We have grieved you because of our sins against you, and we desire, Lord, to serve you with our whole life. You have given us the richest blessings, even communion and fellowship with you, because of Jesus Christ, your eternal Son, born of the Virgin Mary. You have recorded her song in Scripture for our edification and instruction, and we thank you for it. We pray that you will fill us with joy and thanksgiving because of what you have done for us. For while Mary was blessed by being the mother of our Lord, we and she have been blessed in an even greater way by sharing in the benefits which Jesus of Nazareth has obtained for us, righteousness and peace and life eternal with you. Help us, Lord, to always have an eye for the many blessings you shower upon us. Cause us to live by faith more and more, and not simply by sight. You have done great things for us, too many to count or number. How good it is to be your children, and we pray that you will help us to respond in thankfulness and joy because of who you are and what you have done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.